SaaS Backwards is sponsored by Austin Lawrence Group, specializing in demand gen for SaaS. It sure is noisy. I deleted 100 emails from vendors just this morning. Your buyer has gotten better at ignoring you, and you're going to need a big idea if you want to cut through all that clutter. Austin Lawrence is just the right agency to help you find it. So if your campaigns are falling on deaf eyeballs, let's talk. Visit austinlawrence.com today, and let's build something bigger.
Welcome to the SaaS Backwards Podcast, where we reverse engineer the success of fast-growing SaaS firms and explore strategies CMOs and CEOs are using to drive their businesses forward.
Welcome to SaaS Backwards, a podcast that helps SaaS CEOs and CMOs to accelerate growth and enhance profitability. Our guest today is Fred Rockwell, founder and CEO of Ascent Conference and Investor Summit. Ascent is a networking event and conference for SaaS C-suite execs, and Investor Summit connects public companies with institutional and retail investors. Hey, Fred, welcome to the podcast.
Ken, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Excited to have you on the show and to learn more about Ascent. And if you don't mind, just tell us a little bit more about your background and your company.
Yeah, so quick background on me, and it's not exactly a straight path. I've kind of veered left and right like a lot of people do, but I started out working in mortgage-backed securities, got into investing, and then got into running events through just media content. I had a blog, I had a podcast, it had a following, and the event kind of just happened, and Investor Summit and Ascent have morphed out of that. And that's actually my passion. I found my passion, which is leading teams and trying to help other people, which I don't think I ever was passionate until I really, you know, a team under me. So that's what excites me. That's it.
Well, listen, I don't think it's uncommon for people to start in one place in their career and end up three or four or five moves completely unrelated from where they started. And finding your passion, you know, I think that's kind of what your adult life is about, right? Figure out what you want to be, how you want to make a mark on the universe. I certainly know for me, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing today. And that's kind of exciting the way things work out. I want to talk about the conference because it's coming up. And I think we should talk about Ascent Conference, what makes it special, what it is, and how people can get involved. So if you don't mind, just give us a picture of what Ascent Conference is.
Yeah. So getting involved would be attending the conference or sponsoring the conference. You know, I think what makes it special is the intent behind it and the intent of our attendees. It's, like you said, a networking event for C-suite, VP level executives of go-to-market SaaS teams, just kind of figuring out how the space is changing, coming together to learn, but also to build each other's networks. But the intent is about support. So it's about coming together at a critical time and helping each other. And for us, it's about providing the connections that people need to accomplish their goals. So with our sponsors, it's sales leads for our attendees, and we're very attendee focused. It's about the connections and about the support. We want people to come that have the same values about helping each other and creating a community, or the way I like to think about it is like a village. So, you know, in a village, you have all these different people that have different trades. One guy builds shoes, another guy's a fisherman, and everyone brings what they do back to the village and shares. And that's what really advances a society or a group of people. I want it to be like that. And that's how we think about the business, how we think about gathering people, and what the values and intent are behind it. And it's a space that changes a lot. So people do need to come together regularly to understand the trends, like what's working, what's not working, how do we adjust, how do we do this together? It really is a team sport to have success in any capacity.
You know, I think we should trace that line back just a little bit. So there's a couple of things. First of all, the village metaphor you've been recently posting about online, right? And also, you're very public about working with your team trying to find the way to be successful in the business. Can you talk just a little bit about why you're so public about the triumphs and travails in business, and as well this playing out on LinkedIn, you know, your team building that you're doing for your own team, the cheerleading, and just the putting out there what it's like to actually be an entrepreneur? I think it's interesting. I know we didn't prep this, but I think it's a really interesting thing, and it's unusual. You know, it's pretty rare on LinkedIn, not unlike on Facebook, we put out only our best selves. And I think you've been really remarkably transparent about the highs and lows.
I think that you have to be. I think it's not like your company doesn't feel it. SaaS sales have pulled back. Everyone's going through the same struggle, but not many people are actually talking about it. A CEO doesn't get a chance to chat with every one of his employees every single day. But if he's posting on LinkedIn, they get to see that in addition to prospects in the world. So I want them to know what I am about and what my values are and how I plan to lead us through something, but look at the past honestly. And there's something about when things are not going right, and everything's not going right. Everything's a little bit harder than it used to be when the economy pulls back, and it definitely has pulled back in SaaS. People have a way of kind of like not taking the blame and pointing the finger at everybody else. And it's the exact opposite of what you need people to do. You need people to come together and fight like a pack of dogs any problem that comes at them. So I think that vulnerability is strength. I think that being able to say, look, this is getting really hard, I'm a little bit nervous, like I need your help, that's a strength, because a lot of people don't do that. And that's how companies, I think, implode in a hard time, is that people aren't able to be vulnerable with each other. They're not looking honestly at their losses and successes. And I'm just a big believer in that kind of transparency. And what matters to me is kind of the culture. And, you know, I haven't always gotten it right. I feel like I really have it right now. But that to me is what I think is everything. What's most important? Hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, especially I think your business is virtual, right? So it's not like people are coming into an office.
They used to. We had an office.
Yeah, I mean, we gave up our office 5 months into the pandemic. And, you know, there was the opportunity for me at any moment to share the highs and lows with my team and for us to gauge from each other how we're doing, right? And so I think by putting it out on the public square like that, you're sort of making LinkedIn your office in a way. And I guess I want to ask you, what's happened behind the scenes? Have people from outside your company come to you about how you're positioning things? You're talking about the highs and lows in such a transparent way. And I'm curious if people among your very large following, you know, are contacting you sort of privately to discuss it.
No, not really. I mean, some do a little bit, but I mean, everyone is dealing with the exact same thing. So it might not be something that people are saying, but people are reading my posts and they're like, yeah, that's what's happening. That's what it looks like. And we're actually on an amazing trajectory right now. I think my team has never been stronger. Like, our trajectory has never been as steep as it is right now. And it's all because of the culture and the team that we have and the way that we're like sticking together as a team, no matter what. And yeah, I mean, every company has pitfalls. That's kind of what I'm trying to put out there and let people see. Not that it's only that, but like Amazon almost failed. Like after they IPO'd, they spent too much money on their Christmas inventory. They bet too big and almost lost it, but they recovered. You know, I think SpaceX, it took them 5 tries to actually get something into orbit. They were down to their last pennies on like the final try and got it going. Everything is a failure until it's a success. And it's really about the resilience to be able to go through it. And everyone's experienced highs and lows. And I'm happy to get on LinkedIn and brag like other people do. But I think that's just too common. Everyone does that. And I don't mind sharing the other side of it too. So,
yeah, well, I think that's sort of like a CEO as coach, right? And we lost a good coach yesterday, right? Dick Butkus passed away yesterday. I think the message to take away from it maybe is that, you know, as CEO, you're a coach for your team and you have to be willing to help them win. And in a virtual company, there's a lot of other tactics you're going to use that you might not have used 3-5 years ago. Hey, let's go back to the conference and talk about like who are sponsors. And I'm going to plug us just for a moment. We're the official podcast sponsor of the Ascent Conference here and upcoming in San Francisco. Very excited to be doing that. But who are sponsors of your conference and why are they doing it?
They come because it's the only executive only, mid-market only SaaS event. So it's companies that are doing 5 million to 200 million ARR mostly, you know, some skew a little bit bigger, and it's director level and above, focused on C-level and VPs. And it just cuts out the noise. You know, you go to another conference and if it's a large festival style event, you have to have conversations with AEs and pre-revenue companies and anybody that can buy a ticket. With us, they come to build kind of lower in the funnel leads that close faster because they're having conversations with decision makers. And that's what they come for. But, you know, the attendees come for the learning, for the connections, for the camaraderie, to commiserate in times like this. So...
yeah, when we talked before, I said to you, I think that the corner is going to get turned soon on investment. I've been reading, you know, listen, I'm no oracle or anything, but just that there's so much money in VC and PE bank accounts that needs to get spent. So I think that part of it's going to take care of itself soon enough. These guys are going to have to spend the money, but the sales are harder still, right? Getting people to make commitments a little bit harder than it was. So can you tell me, is this conference like the one we were at in San Francisco in terms of what the opportunities are for engagement?
Yeah, so we're all about helping people build connections and making it easy for people to connect. And what that means is, yeah, there's talks on stages, but there's also smaller breakouts where you can sit down at a table with six other people that have the same title at the same company size that are facing the exact same challenge. So we make it easy to break the ice by having a lot of these breakouts that have very specific themes that are unique to what challenges people are facing right now. And that's how it kind of changes between event to event, is the challenges that people are facing change. And that has to do with the economy. It has to do with trends. And that's, you know, how the theme changes. And disruption, innovation, you know, can change some of the themes as well. AI. But then one-on-ones too, and you know, we'll facilitate their activities outside of the event. And that's where everyone that's getting a lot of value right now, it's about the more intimate settings. Like you'll do your podcast right on the demo floor and you'll have those intimate meetings. You'll get to know people over a 45-minute convo. And that's somebody that you know, and that's a decision maker. It's not just like a loose touch that you get at another style of conference. So for us, it's about making it immersive, making the networking easy, and helping people build those connections. And I'm a really introverted guy. I feel like I'm talking a lot right now, but I keep that in mind when I'm thinking about the conference as well, too, because other people are like me. They don't love to network. You know, they're drained after having to talk to 50 people at a conference. So I try to make that really easy by having all those different breakouts and themes. Those are your icebreakers. Having private events where people get invited into smaller settings so you can build that group of people that you know going into the event. So you have a home base. Like those are people that you can go back to. You can meet their friends or their contacts in business the next day. And we really try to facilitate every part of it so that, you know, we're packaging up those connections that people need to advance their careers, to help their businesses, and just make it easy. So,
well, it's interesting. I would never have thought of you as an introvert. So that's revealing all by itself.
Extremely, like, it drives my wife crazy. I could just sit in my office and read a book like the whole weekend and be happy. And she's very extroverted. And so I think about everybody's kind of dynamic. You know, when I was single, I used to take vacations by myself and go to the woods for like a week. And I would just bring some books. I would not even see another human being. And that's when I'm like the most relaxed and when I get the best ideas. I heard Hemingway was like that actually. When he was writing his best books, he would just go and live in isolation for months and months.
Just hole up. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, so I want to focus on the conference coming up because it's, what are the dates of the conference again? It's one day in New York, right?
It's one day in New York. There's private dinners the night before, the night of. There's happy hours and stuff around it, but we're making it very concentrated for that one day. And yeah, October 30th. So, you know, if people want to come with their Halloween costumes, that's okay. It's a day early.
Hey, listen, don't open that too wide. You're in New York for that.
Yeah, true.
You could get some funny costumes. I do want to know how you go about choosing the content and speakers and partners, because I think there's a unique mix there. So could you dig in a little bit about how you're doing that?
Yeah, it's very thematic. What's trending right now? So AI, and who's the best subject matter expert to come and speak on that topic? If the topic is about finding efficiency, who is the foremost expert in talking about that? And we try to find people with different views. I'm not all about keeping things very friendly and just putting like friendly talks on stage. I'd like to get two people with opposite views to maybe have an Oxford style debate on the stage about, is AI going to change the role of the BDR forever? Is it not going to have that impact? You know, and get different perspectives, because that's what people want. And especially these higher level executives, they want the content that's geared towards them and the decisions that they have to make. They're not prospecting in a lot of cases, so they don't need that type of advice. Even though I prospect a lot, I like prospecting, but some of the lower level topics aren't as vital. And honestly, I have people smarter than me that do it, and people with more relationships than me that do it. Like, I have guys that have been in the SaaS space for 20 years, and they know everybody, and they know they're talking to everybody. I'm part of communities. They're part of communities. We're hearing what everybody's saying. So I think we try to be a very populist event. We are for the people. So you could go on LinkedIn and see the popular voices and hear the popular themes. And that is probably what's going to boil up at our conference as well. But for me, I'm about the intent and the values. And there's a person that's smarter than me that's about the themes and topics and the right speakers. And it's about having a Rolodex of relationships too, you know? So I think I'm more than answer your question. I'll kick it back to you, Kent.
I think you got it covered. You did good.
Yeah.
Hey, I think you've talked publicly about bootstrapping a business. And
yeah,
I'd love to get your take on, if I'm about to be founder of a company and I'm planning to bootstrap, you know, what your perspective is on what it takes to be successful coming out of the gate as a bootstrap.
Yeah, I think it's resilience and hard work. It's a different animal than a VC-backed company. And a lot, just because VC money's tight, there's tons of people starting bootstrap companies right now. And that's why I think the content's so relevant. And I talk about my experience, but I've started 3 companies that I've bootstrapped all of them. And it's a different animal, you know. It's your own money. And I didn't have a ton of people backing me or anything like that, or family giving me tons of money. Like, in order to have success, I had to pick up the phone and make sales and be able to feed everybody that works for me. And just having that mentality in the beginning, I really had to grind to get going. And once you get going, it gets easier and easier. And once you have people that you trust, it gets easier. But it's always a struggle. Like, there's always something going on. You have to be able to compartmentalize problems. But what's different about bootstrapping? I mean, the risk is huge. So it's your money. You can have problems come up, and a lot of businesses fail. I mean, I think especially in these times. So the stress is real. Whereas you see VC-backed companies that are just spending money left and right, not really thinking about getting ROI. You have to just be really scrappy. I mean, in the beginning, I'm thinking about, how do I do everything for less money? How do I really need to make this investment? Scrutinizing everything that we spend cash on to make sure that we're getting return. And the same thing with the people. Like, you have to be so sure. I honestly think that probably 50% of the workforce is not earning their paycheck. There's about 30% that are, you know, you're great performers. And then 20%, which is where all your profit comes from, all your improvements in the business, And just those high achievers are what you want. And just being able to find those people is just so much more valuable than just picking up people here or there. And it's more than just their work ethic. It's about them fitting into the culture. Once you have a real team of people that work together, that struggle together, work through challenges together, you can do a lot. I mean, a small group of passionate people can accomplish a lot. But if there's any kind of divisiveness on that team, if there's any kind of friction, then, you know, it blows up. So it's really about thinking about the mix of people and getting the right people and being resilient enough to make it. I mean, you're going to hit pitfalls. Every single business does. And you got to just power through it.
Yeah, the grind is real, right?
The grind
is real. And I don't know if people understand what that means. You have to be willing to work. You don't get to work smarter in the beginning of a bootstrap, right? You're going to be working harder. There's no doubt about that.
And I was an idiot. I mean, I knew nothing about marketing or sales. I came from a finance background. I didn't know what like MailChimp or ActiveCampaign were. I was sending every email one at a time because I didn't know that those other tools existed. So I did our first conference. I didn't send email blasts. I didn't do anything like that. I did everything personally, inviting people, and which is the dumbest way to do it ever. But I just didn't, you know, everything I had to learn kind of the hard way. And that's the other side of having a bootstrap business is you don't have those VC advisors. You don't have as many people helping you out. So it really is important to have your own network and get really good expert advice when you're doing stuff, because you can save yourself so much pain. I feel like VC backed companies are like pampered babies compared to the bootstrappers.
Yeah, no, it's really true. I had an office in London for about 4 years. And at the end of the 4 years, I knew how to have an office in London. And in the beginning, I did everything myself. And it turns out there were all these people that could have helped me had I just had the perspective to do it. Hey, I want to sort of shift gears a little bit. When we did our prep meeting, we talked about the imperative to remain relevant. And I wondered if you could elaborate on what that means to you and how you're doing it.
I think LinkedIn. So that's where people are. That's all the buyers, especially in SaaS. Everybody's so active on LinkedIn. If you don't have a voice there, then it's a missed opportunity. And sales, marketing continues to evolve, and where people are listening is always changing, and you just have to be there. So you can't just miss the bus on LinkedIn and expect to have tons of success. So remaining relevant. I don't feel that old. I would turn the question back to you, Ken.
Thanks a lot.
3 or 4 years older than me.
Yeah, thanks a heck of a lot. No, it's great. No, it's something I certainly think about all the time. So, you know, I'm going to be 65 in 3 weeks. And I think personally, I have a unique advantage in that my early career, I was a technologist. So the underpinnings of everything that my clients, prospects, and people I'm friendly with in the industry are building and talking about, I have a good idea of what they're going through to build and deploy and sell their products. I think if you don't have that kind of background, you need to be where everybody is, right? So I think you need to be on LinkedIn. You need to participate in some of these groups that operate virtually and some of them in real life. Thinking of things like the Peak community for marketers, where those folks are asking and answering questions that are important to them. Going to conferences like yours, where honestly, I heard conversations the likes of which I'd never heard elsewhere, which is why we're coming back as a sponsor. You know, we felt that the engagement in the small group scenario was really great. Having people come to the podcast, just chatting with people we would meet, getting coffee. So I think there's a true imperative to know not just what you read, but what people who are committing dollars are doing. And I don't think you can know what people are committing dollars are doing unless you have some kind of engagement with them, or unless they're really just revealing all. But a lot more is revealed in a one-on-one conversation than is revealed online, right? People just have different personas, and I think they're much more sophisticated about that. Tell me a little bit about what CEOs are telling you these SaaS CEOs, what are they telling you about driving toward year end and early next year? Are they positive in their outlook?
Most people are like you, Ken, and they think things are going to open up. I'm cautiously optimistic always, but it's going to be a great event. I have an all-star team. I've never been so happy with the people that I work with. And just the success of the event and recent events has brought people out of the woodworks to help us that have been just doing a tremendous job. And what you're saying is true. Just going to a conference helps you stay relevant. Who are the people that are active in the space and just keeping your face out there? I felt over COVID years without seeing a lot of these people. You can develop a lot of relationships over the phone or on LinkedIn. But like you said, there's barriers that come down when you're in person. And so much of communication is, 10% is verbal. So everything else is your body language. A lot of it's your energy and stuff that you're not really picking up if you're not in person. And a lot of guards come down when people start drinking alcohol, which you can't do over Zoom either. So there's all kinds of levels to it that, and you get to know somebody actually personally a little bit if you meet them in person. And just having that extra layer to the relationship is what makes it valuable.
Great. So this episode is going to air, I think, at least 2 weeks before the conference. Will people be able to register still to attend?
We're getting really close to capacity, but you can check us out at www.ascentconf.com, ASCENTCONF.com. And if there are tickets left, definitely check it out. If there's not, come to San Francisco.
And when is San Francisco, Fred?
April 23rd and 24th, just announced this week. Thanks for the question, Ken. And happy early birthday in 3 weeks. I'll have to mark that down to send you a gift.
Oh, thanks very much. If folks want to reach me, I'm at LinkedIn/in/Ken Lempit. And if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, please do so wherever podcasts are distributed. And Fred, if people want to reach you, how can they do that?
My email is fred@ascentconf.com, or just connect with me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you too. Have a good day.
Thanks for listening to the SaaS Backwards Podcast, brought to you by Austin Lawrence Group. We're a growth marketing agency that helps SaaS firms reduce churn, accelerate sales, and generate demand. Learn more about us at www.austinlawrence.com. You can email Ken Lempit at kl@austinlawrence.com about any SaaS marketing or customer retention subject. We hope you'll subscribe, and thanks again for listening.